Well, good morning, Mount Joy Mennonite family. How's everyone doing this morning? Such a good day to be in the house of Jesus. You know, it feels good to be back in PA. This past week, I had the honor and opportunity to go to Greenville, South Carolina for a preacher's school and just to continue to craft the sacred art of preaching. And as I was coming home and hit the PA state line, I said, wow, it feels good to be home. Something about coming home and being here with you guys as family and being with my wife and son. How many would say that you are competitive? Do I got any people that are competitive in here? Yeah. I would say, so me and my wife, we don't balance each other out in this way because both of us are actually incredibly competitive. So like board game nights get really intense, like really intense. And I remember in our time in Florida, when we were leading at the church I was at as a youth pastor, one of my favorite things on Wednesday night youth service was I had very honored to have this leader with me. He was a former college quarterback. Now, great guy. He actually became a chiropractor. Long story short, he was actually going into the NFL, ended up tearing his rotator in his shoulder. And so he wasn't able to go. So he became a chiropractor. God worked out. So he was a youth leader with me for years. One of my favorite things on Wednesday is we would have what we called grudge match football. So we would gather the students out in this gigantic field, and me and him would go against each other as quarterbacks. Now, if you know me, I never played football in my life. I'm convinced, though, I'm Tom Brady when I'm out there. Maybe if Tom Brady was a lineman. And so we would just duel it out, right? And so usually, I don't know how this always happened, I would get the short end of the stick, and I would get stuck with the junior high kids, right? He's got like the 12th graders who actually play football. I got the awkward kids who don't play football. So one Wednesday night in particular, I got stuck with kind of that misfit team, and I said, guys, we're going to own it. Like, we're going to be the misfits out here. And so we started dueling it out. He's zipping them, and Travis was his name. He zipped the ball so hard. I mean, it left, like, dents in your chest, right? Like, just tight spirals. I'm lobbing them, barely getting them, like, 25 yards. So we were, like, dueling it out, super close game. All of a sudden, I throw the ball. Don't know how. I think it was God, like, just like he did with David in the slingshot. I think, like, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came on my arm. I slung it, like, 75 yards. Probably not 75 yards. Moralistically, like 40 yards. This little junior high kid reaches out, one-hands it, brings it down, scores the game-winning touchdown. Travis, being super competitive, remember, ex-like college quarterback, like this dude's won a lot of games, slams his hat in the ground. He says, come on, are you serious? And so like we would go against each other every Wednesday in this grudge match kind of football. And the next couple of weeks, we're going to be in a series called Sorry. I was really excited about this series as the pastoral team came together and we're kind of forming this idea of what does forgiveness look like? And so we're going to talk about today forgiving others. In the coming weeks, we'll talk about forgiving, how to forgive God, right? Maybe some of us, there's maybe some pent-up anger or frustration when God didn't show up. And then finally, we're going to talk about how to forgive ourselves. But I told Carl, I was extremely passionate about this topic of forgiving others. And when I think about forgiving others, there's so many different directions we could go in. Because see, in a culture that permeates hate, revenge, getting justice, right? As believers, we are called to a different kind of kingdom, different kind of way. And I want to take pause on this too, because I realize that when we talk about unforgiveness in our hearts, when we talk about not being able to forgive someone, there's some of us in this room and even gathered online who the pain is incredibly real. And so I just want to pause and just acknowledge it with you that for some of you that are in this season of, I mean, I just cannot forgive what they did to me. Can I just acknowledge as a pastor that pain's real? It hurts. It stinks. I might not know the situation in your life, but unfortunately, this is an area that I feel like the Lord has given me victory in. But even as a pastor, and I want to say this for our pastoral team, a lot of times we're maybe looked at as heroes who have it all together. Can I just say I'm just like you? Pastor Carl, Pastor Jeremy, we're just like you. right? We struggle with the same things everyone in this room struggles with. And in this topic specifically of unforgiveness, this is an area I would say that I have gained much victory, but still am being renewed. And I believe until I meet Jesus, we'll still be walking in renewness. Unforgiveness is a bitter root that, if allowed to flourish in our life, actually becomes cancerous to the soul. I can see it on people. I'll be in a room and I can just begin to get in a conversation with someone and they start sharing their life with me, and I can see the toxicity that's happened from pain, from trauma, from abuse start to bubble out, and you can almost see, it's like if you looked at tree roots, you can see the cancerous tree roots digging down deeper and deeper. See, I believe this: if unforgiveness is allowed to thrive in your life, not only does it cause your soul to be unhealthy, but it actually increases the schemes and tactics of the enemy. It opens a door into our life for Satan to come in and begin to manipulate and control. Famous author said this: unforgiveness is like drinking poison yourself and waiting for the other person to die. As someone who has struggled with unforgiveness most of my life, I can say there was times where I thought that not forgiving the person would actually give me victory over what they did to me. And can I just say, every single time I was disappointed. I was left in a broken shell. I was left angry. A culture that seeks revenge and hate, how do we as believers walk in forgiveness? How do we forgive someone who has hurt us so bad? So I want to open some scripture this morning and kind of look at the words of Paul. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Now, in this specific letter, I want to give some context to this. This specific letter is actually dealing with a certain situation where this person was actually opposing Paul the apostle. But after reading this, I realized that there's some powerful truth about forgiving. And so I want to look at the scripture together. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Paul says this: if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put too severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him. Some of you, even reading that right there, maybe triggers something in you of saying, why would I ever want to forgive and comfort the person who hurt me? Verse 8, I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote to you was that was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Verse 11 is key here. In order that Satan might not outwit us. You know, when we walk a life that is filled with pain and hurt and unforgiveness, Satan a lot of times will outwit you into believing lies, not only about God, but about yourself, about the person that is the offender who maybe caused the pain. For we are not unaware of his schemes. And then turn with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 4. 31 and 32, Paul says this to the church of Ephesus. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you come? I'm even aware that in this room right now that there's some serious pain. There's some serious trauma that has been caused by others. And for some people, they feel like holding on to that pain and unforgiveness might be the weapon that they're able to use to get justice and revenge. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would send that sweet healing balm to cover those wounds, to cover those offenses, that we might be a people who show radical forgiveness even when it's not accepted. Make me aware and available and obedient these next few moments that we have together. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Paul gives us kind of a clear picture of what and how to forgive someone who has hurt us. All throughout the Bible, especially in the words of Jesus, there talks about this idea of forgiving others, right? I believe as believers, not only should we be the most generous people on the planet, but we should be the most forgiving. Now, pause, easier said than done, right? Totally easier said than done, and I get it. There is times, man, when someone wrongs you and your first reaction is just to like spill out the hate, the vengeance, the justice, and oftentimes what God is saying, would you instead turn the other cheek to forgive? Again, easier said than done. So I want to give just some personal history with this topic. A lot of you might, I've shared this before, might have known that throughout most of my teenage life, I was addicted to pornography, and at the age of 18, the Lord recalled me home and set me free of that. And so my exposure to pornography, though, came at the age of 11. I was unfortunately abused by a friend who was a couple years older than me. And that abuse carried on for over a year. And in that process of losing my childhood innocence, losing my view of God and becoming angry, I exposed myself to pornography, and that led to almost like a false sense of security, of wow, like this feels good in the moment, but the pain was so real. Throughout most of my teenage life, I actually attempted suicide multiple times, failed, believed that the hand of the Lord was over my life. And throughout those years, I had this deep burning anger in my soul because I wanted justice. I wanted revenge for the person who hurt me, who caused the pain, who took something from me that should have never been taken. And I get free of pornography at 18, and it wasn't until the age of 21, fast forward like many years later, 10 years later, that I was sitting down with a counselor and my pastor at the time and his wife, and for the first time in my life, in 10 years, I verbalized that I had been abused. The healing that came in that moment of finally being able to say, this happened to me. I never even said it to my parents. In fact, my parents still don't know to this day. And in a moment, all that anger, rage, cancerous unforgiveness came up out of the surface, and God healed it in a moment. Now, the process of walking forgiveness out is much more difficult than just God taking something away in the moment. One of the things that the counselor encouraged me to do was to write a letter of forgiveness. I don't know this person anymore. I lost contact with them many years ago. But the counselor said, would you write a letter of forgiveness expressing yourself, that you forgive what was done to you, and then I want you to put it into a fire and release it to the Lord. And I wrote this letter of forgiveness, and I'll never forget, man, I sat there, tears streaming down my face, writing this letter. And as I put it in the fire, I felt like the Lord released me finally of the pain I had been suffering. See, little did I know that that all my life I thought pornography was the Achilles heel in my life, when really unforgiveness has had a stream of influence throughout my life. In fact, it was ironic. I was on the way home, had tons of time to kill driving back to PA, and so I was talking to my mom for hours, and I realized that unforgiveness is actually a deep kind of family curse in our history, that she said when she was little, she went to a Catholic school, and the nuns would verbally abuse her, and physically even sometimes with rulers, and she said that trapped me in bondage most of my life, that I actually was afraid to do stuff on my own. She said it wasn't until recently that I was actually able to verbalize and forgive those nuns. See, I think for some of us, it might not be as serious and as intense as maybe abuse like this, but for some of you, the pain is still real. Maybe it was a friend who you thought would always have your back and they betrayed you. Maybe it was a family member who spoke ill against your family. Maybe it was a pastor or leader who said something really dumb against you. Unforgiveness, if not treated, becomes cancer in our life. My one and only point, if you're taking notes, is simply this. Forgiveness isn't pretending it didn't happen. Forgiveness is deciding that it no longer holds you anymore. Right? So here's what I want to say about forgiveness right off the start, is that forgiveness isn't saying what that abuse or situation that happened in your life didn't happen. In fact, I'm saying, no. Forgiveness is deciding that you're not going to be imprisoned by the pain and the torment anymore. That you're choosing to say, enemy, you're no longer going to have a hold in my life. Listen, choosing to forgive isn't choosing to forget. And I just want to acknowledge that, because I sense even in the room, for some of you, that might be your story of maybe someone abused you and you feel like, man, if I forgive them, I'm acknowledging what they did to me was right. No, friends. It's simply saying that I'm not going to be imprisoned anymore. I'm not going to live my life in shame and torment. So how do we do this? I want to break down this one and only point and look deeper into how to walk this out. If you're taking notes, write this down. We bring light to the pain and allow Jesus to bring the healing. I think one of the most powerful things, if you've ever done counseling or inner healing before, one of the kind of activations that a lot of times they have you do is to verbalize the pain in your life, to verbalize the offense, because sometimes it gets so bottled down in your soul that you even don't have words to describe it. And so they'll tell you to verbalize this and to say it out loud. And, you know, one of the things when I verbalized that pain in my life, I remember feeling like this relief, like, wow, I've never been able to talk about this before. Never been able to share this with someone before, that this happened to me. And, man, like, I don't want to walk around just like this cancerous sore anymore. I want to walk around with healing in my heart. The Greek word here, if you're taking notes, is a beautiful word called sozo. And sozo means to be saved, to be healed, and delivered. You know, we are a people that when we come to Jesus are continuously walking out sozo in our life. That healing process that God begins to renew, and he saves those areas, and he begins to renew those areas that are broken. And listen, not only does he renew those, but he amplifies them to be able to be a testimony to the world. I've shared this story before. Never forget it. I shared it at a youth night. It was like a kind of a youth revival night. And I shared this kind of darker part of my testimony. And I'll never forget, we had altar time ministry. And over 50 students came rushing down and said, that was me, I was abused. And we prayed for them. And we asked God to heal them. And then we tried our best to connect them with adults that could continue to walk that process out. Do you know that sozo is this continued process in our life? I believe that in the here and now on this planet, that God still is renewing us, and one day that renewal will come to completion when we meet Jesus face to face. 3 John 1, verse 2, it says, dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Another translation would say that as your soul prospers. You know, Jesus longs for our soul to prosper. You weren't saved for you to continue to hold on to the baggage before you were saved. You were saved to walk in freedom. You were saved to walk in joy. You were saved to be able to share that good news of what Jesus has done for your life. And listen, the trap of the enemy, especially in this age, you don't know how much I see across social media about people who are expressing deep pain of church hurt. The enemy, man, he is not original whatsoever, but his tactics, for whatever reason, still work to this day and is dividing the church. And again, I acknowledge that the pain is real. For some of those people, the church hurt is real. There was a pastor in my life, I'm not going to get into the details, when I was younger, when I was kind of walking out this process of my calling, that looked me in the eye and said, Josh, you're never going to be a youth pastor. Deeply hurt me. And I, again, many years later, had to walk the process of forgiveness out. I love, one of my favorite stories is John chapter 21. It's a beautiful story. I actually have a painting of this story that just is so special to me. Jesus is resurrected and he's gone and his disciples are kind of bamboozled. They don't know what to do. And so they go back to what they knew. They go back to fishing. And so they're on the lake fishing, not catching anything. And all of a sudden this guy from the shoreline says, hey, cast your nets over there. And Peter recognizes that it's Jesus and jumps out of the boat like wild Peter, swims to the shoreline. But remember, this is the same Peter who betrayed Jesus three times. He was hurt, he was offended, who I imagine Jesus, like, wow, this is a guy who, as I'm being like scourged before the trial, is denying me. And I love this. Actually, Sozo is played out here that they're having breakfast together as they had done many times, and the end of the breakfast comes, and Peter's just waiting for like that hammer to fall. And Jesus says, Peter, come talk to me. And Peter walks through this process with Jesus of forgiveness and healing. Do you know that Jesus would ask Peter three times, which I really firmly believe in my spirit, was the three times of Jesus healing the offense that was done. He was renewing Peter, was healing Peter. And then I love this, at the very end of it, he declares Peter's destiny that says, you will be the rock that the church is built on. Sozo is such a freeing and liberating process. Inner healing. Listen, for some of you, it might mean that you need to address some things in your life that you don't want to address. Maybe it's seeing a counselor, some professional help. Listen, I am all about that. I am all about going and getting with someone to get healed, because listen, there is too much to lose. Listen, I want my kids to walk in freedom. I don't want them to be generationally held down by curses that I'm too afraid to let go of. So my prayer throughout most of my adult life has been, Holy Spirit, please give me the strength to address the areas of hurt, because I can't do it on my own. If you're taking notes, write this down. We acknowledge the pain and hurt, but we do not allow it to shape our life, right? So it goes back to this idea that when the pain and hurt is done, like I said, it stems up in your soul as like these branches begin to form, and it actually, if you allow it, it begins to form your life. That's why you see some people who have been so hurt and so deeply abused, they'll go throughout their life hurting other people, abusing other people, talking ill of other people, acting as foolish ones, not understanding that Jesus has paid the highest price and brought freedom into their life. I was reading the story of Jesus and Thomas the other day, and I felt like the Lord had showed me something, that oftentimes unforgiveness is like nails that hold us captive, right? If you can imagine nails holding you down, captive. That's what unforgiveness does in our soul. And I read this story, and not that the story really has anything to do with forgiveness, but the Lord showed me something here, that Thomas had to put his hands in the nail prints to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And what I realized was, what a powerful testimony that Jesus was no longer nailed to the cross, but he had resurrection power bring him back to life to be able to show Thomas. And what I loved was, listen, this is mind-blowing to me. Why did Jesus have to come back with nail prints in his hands? This is the Son of God. He could have easily come back in his glorified state, but he chose to come back because he knew those nail prints would affect Thomas and change Thomas's history. And can I just say that you walking the process of forgiveness out isn't saying, let's cover this thing up and let no one see it. In fact, I would say the opposite. I would say, let the world see the hurt and pain done on your life so that others who are trapped in the same bondage could see the freedom in your own life, could see the revelation that Jesus has healed you, he has restored you. You're walking forgiveness out. acknowledging the nails of unforgiveness is saying, I know this pain is real, it hurts. And the enemy would want nothing more to convince you just to continue to hold on to that pain. Can I free someone today in this place? It's time to let go of the pain. And my prayer, literally since we conceptualized the series, has been, Jesus, would you give someone the strength to let go of the pain and hurt and offense that was done to them so that they could live a life of fullness? So that they could live their best life, that they no longer have to be trapped in this perpetual state of hurt and offense that then gets passed down generations. Listen, there's too many hurt people in the church, and Jesus is calling us home saying, sons and daughters, I have freedom for you. Lastly, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward, as we walk forgiveness out the rest of our days in the here and now, I believe this, that forgiveness requires action of some sort. Like, it just does. It requires action. It requires either, like I had to do, writing a letter of forgiveness. It requires action of acknowledging it. It requires some form of movement to happen in your life. Again, 2 Corinthians, I love this. Paul says, listen, don't allow the schemes of Satan to outwit you. Be mindful of what the enemy is trying to do in your life and acknowledge the pain, acknowledge the hurt, but say, Jesus, your healing balm is so much better. The story many years ago shook me to the core. Many of you might know it's the story of the Charleston Nine. Guy by the name of Dylan Roof went in and shot and killed 9 members of the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina. One would expect their family members to respond with anger and hatred towards him. The New Yorker reported that, in fact, the response was much different. After the massacre, the family members of the slain men and women, in the throes of unimaginable grief, offered radical forgiveness to Roof. One of the family members said, you took something very precious away from me. Addressing Roof during the court hearing, I love this, this is so freeing, but I forgive you. I read that and I could sense and feel the pain on that story. What a horrible tragedy, right? And we read about these kind of things all the time, and oftentimes you would think, well, no, there needs to be justice, there needs to be revenge, there needs to be punishment. And for many, they go on the rest of their days living in that mindset, and they die never experiencing the fullness of Christ and forgiveness. You know, Jesus would say it like this, that greatly you've been forgiven, so forgive much. When I had started writing this letter, there was times that throughout the process, it took me over a week to write this letter. In fact, many times I would crumble the paper up and even throw it away because I said, why does this person deserve forgiveness? They hurt me. This person doesn't deserve forgiveness. They deserve punishment. They deserve what's coming to them. And I just kept feeling again the Holy Spirit empowering me and giving me that strength to say, Josh, how much longer are you going to be trapped in the cell of unforgiveness? I have the key of life. Forgive. I feel like the Holy Spirit today is just whispering, maybe to just one person, saying, man, it's time to forgive. It's time to forgive. You know, here's the thing I know about forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't always reciprocated. Right, so you choosing to be brave enough to write that letter of forgiveness or to call that family member or to maybe send an instant message or a text message or whatever you have to do, listen, I want to put this out there. Doesn't mean that that person's going to receive it. Fact, in many cases, the person thinks they were right or they should have caused that hurt. But listen, when you do those things, you are saying, I'm not going to be bound by that thing anymore. I'm going to walk in healing. I'm going to be a people that when people see you in the marketplace and at your jobs, they don't see this cancer in you. They see the healing balm of Jesus. They see the freedom that though the scars are real and the nails were there, you're not nailed to that thing anymore. You're free. You're free. You're free to walk in sozo. You're free to experience the best life you've ever imagined. Listen, for some of you, I'm pleading with you from my heart saying, listen, it's time to forgive. It's time to forgive. There's so much to lose. There's so little time. The back of the room, in the center of the room here where you drop your offering, there's a letter. It looks like this. And this is practically, there's nine different activations of how to write a letter of forgiveness. And I would encourage you, if that's you, this is your first step. This is the first, maybe for some of you, this is the first time that you're ever going to forgive that pain, that abuse. Look at this letter, and I would encourage you, if you need to talk to someone, listen, as a pastoral team, we said this about this series, that we want to be available to you to be able to help you walk through this process. I would encourage you, email me, call me, meet with one of us to be able to walk this out. We can hook you up with the right person and a counselor to walk through this. But listen, let's be a people who are free, who are forgiving, who are loving. That one day when all of us see the face of Jesus, we can say, we didn't allow the schemes of the enemy to outwit us. We lived a life of sozo. Would you stand? I just want to release a blessing over us as we go back into worship, that the Holy Spirit, even during this next song, would muster the strength in your soul to say it's time. So Holy Spirit, even now, would you come? I've sensed you all week, and I even sensed you so strongly in this room today. Would you come and bring healing like never before? God, I ask that strength would arise in your saints. Strength to say, I forgive the offender. I forgive the hurt. I forgive the abuse that was done to me. Holy Spirit, would you give us the strength, because we can't do it on our own. We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you to empower us to say, I'm not going to be held by those nails anymore. I'm going to live a life that's full of life. I'm going to live a life that's filled with sozo, where people can see that I'm healed, I'm redeemed, I'm delivered, I'm restored. So even now, Holy Spirit, bring that healing. I pray. Yeah, I feel this in my heart. I pray for the person in here who has had trauma done to their soul right now, for healing to come. That trauma, whatever that is, yeah, even abuse that was done, to be healed. Not to forget it, not to say that never happened, but to say I'm not going to allow the power of that to affect me anymore. I pray for healing, and I pray for strength, Lord. Jesus, we love you, and we thank you for what you're doing in this house and in our lives. In Jesus' name, let's worship together.